Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John. We'll be looking today at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. And I was able to be away this past time last weekend. This particular celebrated her 20th birthday, so we had some good family time with her as well. But I'm really happy to be back with my Pioneer Baptist Church family also. The last time I was with you was Kingdom Advance Day through Campbellsville University, and the university is very grateful for the opportunity to have a team here at Pioneer Baptist. All the teams where we had all the churches where we had teams 2 weeks ago hearing good reports. We also had some more teams sharing in Mercer County churches last weekend as well. So on behalf of Campbellsville University, thank you again for that opportunity. We do have information about Campbellsville University that the team left, and it's on there here on this front pew as well. Campbellsville University, Harrodsburg Center, right here close. And just know that as you drive past there, all the good kingdom work that is happening. And any way that the university can assist you or your family just in this calling of higher education or further education, please let me know, and we'll get you connected with the right person. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Please stand in honor of God's word. Follow along as I read aloud. John 15, verses 1 to 11. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I was talking with my father-in-law yesterday. We'd spent some time at their house there in E-Town again for my daughter's birthday. And I always go to my father-in-law for lawn care advice. And there's a couple of reasons why I always go to my father-in-law for lawn care advice. One is that he is a retired agricultural person. He did work for UK Ag Extension for many years, but for the last 15 or 20 years of his professional life, he was a civil employee at Fort Knox. And he was in charge of a group of workers that did all the landscaping for the base there at Fort Knox. And so he would joke and say that whenever a tank would knock down a tree, they would have to go and put it back up or replant, or, you know, when the tank treads would tear up the sod, they would go back in later and repair all of that. So this was his life's work, Ag Extension and then land management there at Fort Knox. And so that's one reason why I go to my father-in-law for lawn care advice. And the second reason why I go to my father-in-law for lawn care advice is that if I don't at least ask him, then the next time he comes to my house, my lawn and say, hey, did you do so-and-so? And if I say no, well, that means that I didn't ask my father-in-law for advice. So those are two reasons why I always make sure that I do it. And there's one thing that he's always advised me to do springtime of the year for the lawn, and I hadn't done it yet. And so I called him yesterday before we even though we were going to see them later, I called him in the morning, and I just said, hey, that thing you always make sure to do in the spring, is it too late to do it? And he said, well, you know how you can always tell if it's time to do it? And I remember what he told me. A certain thing that you do for your lawn when the forsythia is in bloom. And the forsythias are going like crazy right now. We got a couple in our yard, and we took some pictures by them yesterday. And I said, you know, yeah, the forsythias are still in bloom, and they look great. He says, well, then it's not too late to do these things that I've advised you to do springtime for your lawn. So advice from my father-in-law, and he's a godly man. He's one of my role models in the faith. I just have so much respect for him. And you know, our times and seasons are in the Lord's hands, but whenever he is with the Lord in eternity, I know that part of his legacy is going to be all the advice that he would give to me and others just in lawn care over the years. And I'm thinking about that this morning as we go here to John 15, because, and again, I want you to remember the setting here for John 15. We've been in the upper room with Jesus for the past couple of Sunday mornings, and we've been kind of tracking with Jesus and the disciples as he shares words with them before he leaves them to go back to the Father. And so in the upper room, beginning at John chapter 13, and actually going all the way through John 17, Jesus is sharing words with his disciples before he leaves them. And he tells them this. He says, you know, I'm going to be leaving you soon. And they get very distraught and anxious, obviously so. And it's within that setting that Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, but believe in God, believe also in me. And it's also in that upper room setting where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and he said to them, you know, I've given you an example. Just as I have washed your feet, I want you to wash each other's feet. So we've talked about these things for these Sunday mornings. But I want to zero in this morning in John 15, 1-11, because Jesus here gives a command to his disciples. And it's a command that's carrying some weight, because he's already told them that his departure is nigh, his departure is soon. So this is one of the last commands that he gives to his disciples. And look carefully at this command, because it's the same one that Jesus has given us today. And if we understand what this command is all about, it can make all the difference in how we follow Christ and the difference we make for him. Look at it again. John 15, look at the command he gives. John 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this. Look at verse 8. That and prove to be my disciples. Here's the command that Jesus is giving. Jesus gave it to his original disciples and is giving it to us. The command is this: be fruitful. Bear much fruit. One of the most important things that we do as disciples, in fact, if we just look at this upper room time that Jesus had with his disciples, we could even say that everything we do for the Lord can be summed up in this one command: bear fruit. Bear fruit. And I want to talk about that command this morning, bearing fruit. First of all, what does Jesus mean by bearing fruit? And why is this so important? And why does Jesus, with such limited time with his disciples, why does he focus just on this? He's saying, I want you to go bear fruit. Why is this so important? Well, bearing fruit is the outward result of what's on the inside. This is what bearing fruit means. And you and I know this. We know that with fruit-bearing trees, the fruit that we see on the outside is a result of the kind of tree that we have. Apple trees give us apples. Orange trees give us oranges. We know the tree by the fruit. And if everything is working well with the tree, if the tree is healthy, if the tree is being tended to, if the tree is getting the water and the sunlight that it needs, if the tree is free of disease, the tree will do what the tree is supposed to do. In fact, you won't be able to stop it. A tree will produce fruit. It's the outward result of what's on the inside. Be fruitful. You and I have to understand this. This is the nature of the Christian life. Listen, you and I are to bear fruit. And listen, there really is no option here. If we are going to be Christ followers, we are to bear fruit. We are to show on the outside what is on the inside. And there's no option. Well, let me rephrase that. I guess you could say there is an option. I guess you could say there is. What about a Christian who doesn't bear any fruit? What about the Christian who is like a tree, like an orange tree that never bears oranges, or an apple tree that never bears apples? You know, I suppose that could be a possibility, but I want you to see what will happen. Again, look at John 15. Jesus says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Produce more fruit. If you want to please God, and if you want to show God that you love Him, and that if you want just the full reality of God working in your life and present in your life, then what does this mean? It says, you know what? I want to produce fruit. This is what I want to do. This is what I've been designed to do. This is why Jesus saved me. He saved me so that I would produce fruit, bearing fruit. This is what we do, and it is a non-negotiable. If someone this morning says, you know what, I am a Christian, but I don't want to bear fruit, okay? Listen, there's something wrong. There is a tragic disconnect in your life. If you profess to be a Christian, and if you honestly say that you don't want to bear any fruit, hearing again and seeing again the words of our Savior who says to you and I, you are a Christian, you are to bear fruit. It's non-negotiable. The two go together. We are to bear fruit. It is what we do. It's the outward result of our faith in Christ. Jesus does not want your faith to be something that only is inside of you. Yes, it is to be inside of you, but it's not to stop there. Our faith is not to be something that we keep only just to ourselves and we never ever see any outward result of it. No, the nature of faith is that it show outward result, that it make a difference, that people see it, people notice it. And it shows up, it's bound to show up. And how you speak, how you talk, how you do your work, how you relate to others, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, how you raise your kids, how you treat your parents, it's going to show up. You're not going to be able to help it if it is real and true inside of you. Jesus said, you are to bear fruit. It's the outward result of our faith in Christ. Well, listen, if that is what it means to bear fruit, secondly, how do we do it? If this is so important, how do we bear fruit? Well, Jesus talks to us about this. Again, look at John 15. He says in verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing apart from me. So we've talked about apple trees and orange trees, different types of trees this morning. The particular type of plant that Jesus uses to describe all this is a vine. It is a grapevine. So you have to picture this. You have to picture a vine that is thick and substantial. So picture a big, thick, large grapevine, and from this vine come branches. Now, we normally think of branches as big and vines being smaller, but the way Jesus describes this with grapes, it's the vine that's big and the branches can be smaller. But Jesus says, listen, the vine's big, the branches go off of it. You and I are the branches, and it's through the branches that the grapes come. It's through the branches that the fruit comes. But a branch is not going to bear fruit unless that branch is connected to the vine. Let me illustrate it this way. It's as if he's saying, look, I am the trunk, okay? I am the trunk of the tree. You are the branches, and then off of you comes the fruit. Unless a branch is connected to the trunk, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to bear any fruit at all. You've got to be connected to the trunk. Or as Jesus says, you've got to be connected to the vine. If you're burdened all this morning about the fruit that you're bearing, okay, and I'll be honest, I mean, I'm burdened this morning. I wish I was bearing more fruit. I wish I was bearing better fruit. And if you're joining me this morning in that conviction, Lord, I want to bear more fruit. I want to bear better fruit. How do I do it? How do I just say, oh, I wish I could do it. I wish I could bear more fruit. I mean, is that how you do it? How do you work at this? How does it work? Well, Jesus says, well, I'll tell you how it works. You will bear more fruit. You will bear better fruit if you're connected to the vine. And the stronger that connection is, the more fruit you will bear and the better fruit that you will bear. But just as a branch doesn't really work at this, right? You can't imagine a branch just really working to bear fruit. No, listen, if a tree is healthy and if everything's connected, it's just going to happen. You're not going to be able to stop it. It's kind of like, that time of year when all the tomatoes start coming in, you know, when the first tomatoes come, you're so happy, you know. And then after a while, more tomatoes come, and then more tomatoes come. Then after a while, you're like giving tomatoes away because so many are coming in, right? I mean, I don't garden much, so I like that time of year because I like getting the tomatoes. But friends will say, you know, I got so many tomatoes, I'm just giving them away, right? Or cucumbers or whatever vegetable you'd want to pick. But the thing is, you can't stop it. It's going to happen. And after a while, it's like, what do I do with all of it? It is, I'm overflowing with produce, right? Well, imagine the Christian life this way, okay? Producing fruit, making a difference, being a blessing to others, sharing your faith, seeing people around you come to faith in Christ, seeing the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ change and transform your home and your community and your workplace. Man, that's the fruit that we're all hoping for. But listen, if you're connected to the vine, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. And when it does happen, you can say, you know what? I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't. I can't take credit for any of it. All I have been doing is I want to make sure I'm connected to the vine. As long as I'm connected to the vine, man, that fruit's coming. That fruit is going to come. I can't stop it. I can't keep it from coming because I'm connected. That's the point of what Jesus is saying here. If you want to bear more fruit, if you want to bear better fruit, if you want to see more of God working through you, then the honest question to ask is, are you connected to the vine? Because if you're not, if you don't have a vital connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's as if you are a branch of a tree, just a branch, right? No trunk, just a branch, and expecting that branch to produce any fruit or leaves or blossoms or blooms or anything. It's just not going to happen. It's a dead branch because there's no connection to the trunk. In the same way, if we think that we're going to be fruitful, and if we have no connection to the vine at all, we're wasting our time and we are deluding ourselves. We've got to be connected to the vine. And exactly how we do this, well, we're connected to the vine through prayer, spending time with the Lord. We connect to the vine through spending time in His Word and letting the Lord talk to us and communicate to us. So we're receiving His Word. We're praying back to Him, pouring out our hearts before Him. We're also connected to the vine when we connect with brothers and sisters in Christ through a great church family like Pioneer Baptist. But even the stuff we do on Sunday morning. We're in His Word. We're praying. We're praising together. We're refreshing the connections that bind us together. Listen, this is just one of the things that keeps you connected to the vine. Now, our privilege, our joys, we get to keep it going. And not just on Sunday, you know, just throughout the week, spending time, taking some time out, maybe in the morning, maybe before you go to bed at night, but just carving out that time. To just be you in the Lord's presence, sharing with Him what your day's been like, or before the day begins, sharing with Him to say, Lord, you already know what this day is going to be like. Give me strength to glorify you. Help me, Lord, give me power to honor you today. And Lord, use me today as your servant. What's happening there? You're praying to the Lord, and you're staying connected. The Word, through prayer, church family, Christian relationships that keep you connected so that you can bear fruit and continue to be a witness to everybody around you. This is what it means, and this is why it's so important. I think one of the saddest things is to know of somebody who says they're a Christian, but they have no connection whatsoever with the church, no connection whatsoever. And they will say, well, I don't have to be a member of a church to be a Christian, and that's true. But listen, that was never, ever what God intended. God intends for us to be a family even now so that we'll be fully prepared to enjoy to the fullest what heaven will be like, because heaven is a big old community. It's a big old family. But we get ready and prepared on this side. Church connections are one of the ways that we stay connected to the vine. So how do we bear fruit? It happens when we are connected. But you know what? Jesus mentioned something else that the Father does so that we can be fruitful, right? Now, maybe you caught it, but look at it again. Look at John 15. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father, listen, Jesus says, my Father is the gardener. My Father is the gardener. So, Jesus is the vine. He's like the trunk of the tree. We're the branch, got to be connected. But who is it that is over the whole thing? Who is it that is in charge of everything? Making those decisions. What to fertilize, what to cultivate, what to weed, what to water, and how does it all fit together? Well, listen, that's not me, and that's not you. Jesus tells us who the gardener is. Man, it's awesome. He says in verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. God is the gardener. And don't you know that He knows exactly what He's doing? He knows exactly when to do it, what to do, and how much. He knows it perfectly. You know, I'll be honest, I'm a sorry gardener. You know, I'm just not very good. And my lawn, I wish I could say to you that my lawn was the best looking one in my neighborhood, but it is far from it. In fact, when I drive through my neighborhood, I gotta really be careful because I'll get a little covetous. I'll just be honest about it, you know. Because you drive past the lawn, that man, there is not a dandelion in that lawn. It's thick, it's lush, man, it looks so good. And then I see mine. Oh man, more work to do. Okay? I'm not very good. I'm just not. And I'm so thankful that we have a gardener who knows exactly what to do and when to do it and how much. I remember one time it was time to fertilize. And I fertilized, man, And I fertilized a little too much. And some of you know what happens when you put too much fertilizer down. It was years before my lawn recovered from that. Okay, so I knew what to do. I just didn't know how much. One summer, I'll tell my oldest son because he's not here to defend himself. One summer, my oldest son was staying with us, and he said, "Dad, there's a lot of weeds in the yard." I said, "Yes, son, I know. He's like, "Well, you mind if I help with that?" "Sure, man, go for it. Well, my son didn't quite understand the difference between is it 2,4-D and what's the other one? The real powerful one. Roundup, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, okay. 2,4-D and Roundup. So he gets out the sprayer of Roundup and he goes to town. And in about 3 days, I see what's happening. I said, "Son, did you use 2,4-D and Roundup?" He said, "You mean there's a difference?" "Yeah, there's a difference." Okay, so could I say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? And I just told him, because he felt really bad about it. I said, "Son, don't feel bad because, you know, I've done plenty of things that are maybe even worse than that, you know." Took a couple of years, but we finally got it back going again. My point is, I'm not very good at it. And I'm so glad that God is the gardener. He knows exactly what to do and when to do it. Now, this is important because Jesus tells us something that God as the gardener does. Look at verse 2. "Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes." But then look at the second part of the verse. "And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit." Now, we all know this. If you want a plant or a tree to really produce, you got to prune it. Prune off the stuff that doesn't need to be there so that the nutrients and the energy that is in this tree can be focused even more so on the branches that remain. And so a tree or a plant that is pruned will just be that much better and more fruitful and more beautiful of a tree or a plant. But it takes pruning. And I've never really thought about this, but pruning cannot be a very pleasant experience for the plant. "Why did you cut that off? Why did you cut that off? Why did you just throw that away? That was a good looking branch over there and you just cut it off. Why did you do that?" And the gardener will say, "So that you will produce more fruit." But pruning is not pleasant at the time. But it's what the master gardener does so that we can be more fruitful. This is what God does. And sometimes we wonder, "God, I feel like I'm being fruitful. I feel like differences are being made. I feel like lives are being changed through the witness that you have through me. So why this trial? Why am I struggling right now? Why has this tragedy happened? Why did that relationship go south? Why the illness? Why the death? Why the grief? Why the sadness? God, why? Because I thought that I was being fruitful and obedient." And if the master gardener can say, "Yes, my child, you are being fruitful. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm so blessed by what you are doing. But you have to trust me that what I'm allowing to happen in your life is passing through my hands first. And it's my pruning. It's my pruning. So that you will be even more fruitful. And you may not understand it all now, but one day you will. Trust me, and I promise." This is the master gardener. And when there is pruning, when things are taken away, or when rough edges are being smoothed, or when we do experience loss or grief, could it be the reason is that God is pruning us so that we would be even more fruitful for Him? And even later, we could look back and say, "God, I didn't understand it at the time, but I can truly say now, thank you. You blessed me. But the blessing came through the pruning. This is how we are fruitful. We're connected to the vine, and we allow the gardener to prune us. So we've talked about what it means to bear fruit. We've talked about how we bear fruit. But then finally, let me share with you how we know. How do we know that it's working? How do we know that we're bearing fruit? Because I can go outside my back door and I can see that forsythia blooming. That's how I know. Or I can see an orange tree or a fruit tree bearing fruit. That's how I know. Well, what about our lives? How do we know that it's working and that we're bearing fruit? Jesus shares with us two things. Two things to where when they are in abundance in our lives, we know that we're bearing fruit. And everything God is doing in our lives is exactly what He intends. Look at this. You'll see it in verse 9. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. And then verse 11. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. Two things, okay? Just two things. Love and joy. If there is more and more love in our lives, love that we feel, love that we are sharing, those around us who are growing in their sense of love and acceptance and grace and forgiveness, just that sense of godly love, truly looking out for someone else's best interest before we even think of our own. This is agape Christian love. When there is more of that than there used to be in our lives and through us, guess what? It's happening. We are bearing fruit because there's more love. And secondly, when there's more joy. I love verse 11, don't you? I love it. Because who had more joy than Jesus? Nobody had more joy than Jesus. And he says to his friends, he says, listen, spending time with you all up here in this upper room, I want you to know, you're making my joy complete. My joy is full. And that's what I want for you too, that your joy may be complete. So if you have more joy and more love today than a year ago, right? That's how you know it's working and it's happening. More joy, more love. Now, some of you might have been thinking about this already. Over in Galatians 5, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, some of you might have been thinking about those verses all morning, because in Galatians 5, we hear more about the fruit that we're to bear. So when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, listen to what it is again. Fruit of the Spirit is. And the first two are what? This is Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. So Paul actually gives us 9 things that make up the fruit of the Spirit. But number 1 is love, and number 2 is joy. That's exactly what Jesus says in John 15. More love, more joy. Okay, that's how you know, that's how it's working. And that's my prayer for you and my prayer for me, that I have more love and more joy. Listen, when that happens, you can't stop it. You can't stop the growth. You can't stop the gospel. You can't stop lives being changed. Because why? People see it. People know it. They see the evidence and they say, man, you are such a loving person. You have such a loving church. Your family is so loving. Man, it's so cool. But then people can also say, you have so much joy. You have so much joy. And it really doesn't matter what life is throwing at you, man. You just got joy. What in the world? Where does that come from? How does that work? That's how you know. People see it. They see the love and they see the joy. You're bearing fruit. You know, when I pastored in Louisville, I had one of my church members. He's since gone on to be with the Lord. But his name was Monty Justice. And Monty's claim to fame was a plant food that he had developed. He was a chemist. He developed this plant food through years and years of trial and error. Originally, it was for roses, and to the end of his days, Monty was a rose grower, where he had roses at the state fair and the whole thing. But where he really made his bread and butter was in this plant food. And he had a name for it that was kind of weird at first, but when I say the name, some of you might recognize it, because it may still be sold in Walmart and different places. But the name of his plant food was Monty's Joy Juice. Anybody ever heard of it? Monty's, anybody? So Monty's Joy Juice. Now when I first heard that name, I thought, well, that's kind of a funny name for a plant food. You know, sounds like moonshot or something. Monty's Joy Juice. What's up with that? Monty's Joy Juice? Who would name a plant food Joy Juice? You know? But when I got to know Monty, it made perfect sense. He was a member of my church at Hurstbourne. He was a choir member. What Monty looked forward to every year was Upward Basketball. He was a coach for Upward Basketball. My daughter had him as a coach 1 year. Another claim to fame for Monty. Jennifer Lawrence, the Hollywood actress, right? Jennifer Lawrence, Hunger Games and the whole thing. Well, you know, Jennifer's from Louisville. And she, when she was a little girl, she actually played upward basketball at the church. Not at the same time I was there, but years prior, she had played upward basketball there. And Monty was one of her coaches. And after she had gone to Hollywood and made the big time, she actually wrote him a note on the back of an autographed picture telling him about the difference that he had made in her life as an upward basketball coach. But this is Monty Justice with Monty's Joy Juice. But you get to know Monty, you spend time around him, and here's a man with so much joy, so much happiness, always with a smile, always with a great attitude, but at the same time, people would tell stories about how Monty would help them, and whenever they needed something, Monty would help to meet that need. Just the love that he had for the kids that he coached and for so many others. Man, he had the joy of the Lord. So if he wanted to call his plant food Joy Juice, I say more power to him. But that's what we're talking about. This is the fruit. This is what it means to have life be something, not just survival, but man, life is beautiful. Life is luxuriant. Life is bountiful. Why? Because God is your gardener. Jesus is your vine. And man, you're just connected to him. And everything that is good in your life, it's because of Jesus doing it through you. He is the vine. You're the branch. Go bear fruit. Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus and the upper room, the time he spent with his disciples, the important things he wanted to say to them as he was nearing the end of his days with them. And God, we just can't imagine all that must have been weighing upon Jesus' heart and spirit because he knew what he would be enduring just over the next couple of hours after the upper room. He knew that soon would come the Garden of Gethsemane, the betrayal. He knew that there would come the abuse and the physical pain of the cross, Lord. And he knew all of this was coming just within the span of a few hours. And yet there he was saying to his friends, I love you and I want you to bear fruit. So God, may we take Jesus' words to be the words of challenge for us today. And may we not think that it's up to us to do this. All we are to do is stay connected and remain in you. You will do it through us as we remain in Jesus and remain in his love. Father, thank you for this power. Thank you for this promise today. Lord, burden us to just bear more fruit for you, because this church will not be big enough to hold the people that will come into the kingdom, because we are simply bearing the fruit of love and joy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.